listening to Fox Sports Radio. Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live coast to coast, 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Las Vegas. We got an action packed hour for you today. In studio, one of the pros you know, Brad Powers, all the college knowledge. We're going to talk some college basketball. We had a very interesting poll yesterday. It was a discussion, and then it became a Twitter poll. We will give you the results. Who would you rather have, Duke or your pick of three teams? And we'll discuss that. And it was really a landslide. Landslide victory. Manny Machado signs. I think it says a lot about sports in 2019. Also, Anthony Davis, his status, also a lot about sports. I've given it a few days. I've got a Kaepernick take that I think is a little bit different and thought-provoking. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My personal promise. We will deliver the Vegas truth to you. You can't have pros without Joes. He is Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ, at Fox Sports Radio here on Straight Outta Vegas. And for one of the few times, I think, in the history of the show, we're going to start in Major League Baseball, where the San Diego Padres signed four-time All-Star Manny Machado. Earlier today, the 26-year-old gets a 10-year contract where they reported $300 million. So, RJ, what is the Vegas perspective on the blockbuster signing in San Diego?
Well, I got to tell you something. It makes me feel like that money changes everything, as Cyndi Lauper once said. What's the rationale? Brad, we were talking about it. When's the last time the Padres had a winning season?
2010.
So nearly a decade before they've even had a winning season. You might be, well, hey, RJ, remember how bad Houston was? And they compiled all those draft choices, and then they won it all. Okay, well, there's such a thing called over-under win totals. What is that? How many games during the regular season is a team expected to win? Before signing Manny Machado, the over-under for San Diego this upcoming season, 76.5 wins. Now, drum roll, please. This is my hands. 78.5 plus two wins, $300 million for two wins a year. And oh, by the way, doing a little bit of simple math, it's still below 500. 78.5 wins isn't even 500. I mean, Jonas, as a sports fan, how do you react? Forget trying to be a smart guy on the radio. As a sports fan, how do you react?
If I'm a Padre fan, I love it. Because they're making a decision that we're going to go get a guy that you're going to want to come to the ballpark to watch. And from a Padre standpoint, they could have easily sat back and not done anything. There's no competition in town. The Chargers are gone. So they can give you a substandard product and they cannot spend money on it because you got nothing else to go to and nothing else to be interested in sports-wise. But they took the risk, they paid the money, and if I'm a Padre fan, I'm excited about it.
I think that's a great point. Now, the other 99.8% of the country, if you're not a Padres fan, I think it's more about what is Manny Machado thinking? It's literally Manny Machado saying, winning, because it's not like there's some grand plan to win in San Diego. It's not the process. It's not, hey, there might be a year or two we're down, but over the horizon of the next 10 years, I'm feeling great. I mean, I'll be honest with you, not soliciting any interstate wagers or anything, but Brad, you're right across the table. If I said even money, will the Padres win a World Series in the next 10 years? I'd rather take the no.
I'd rather take the no as well.
All right. So it sounds like you were kind of close.
They do have the Padres, three of the top prospects in the farm system.
Wow. Now, yeah. So is that a new thing, or did they have some good prospects a couple years ago, I'm guessing, too? Because when you're always at the bottom of the league, by definition, you're always picking a top prospect, right?
Yes.
So, but again, this is literally, I mean, maybe let's think of it like this. If we went one, if we looked at all the baseball teams and we said, if we did a draft, will a team win a title in the next 10 years? Wouldn't the Padres be somewhere in the late 20s?
Absolutely.
Yes.
So literally Manny Machado says, amongst all the teams I had to choose from, now perhaps Machado would have had to take in $285 million. Or maybe that 10th year he wouldn't have had if he would have went to a team that maybe is a good team. But instead it's, hey, at third of a billion, I got to get as close to a third of a billion as possible. And, oh, the Padres probably aren't going to win much. I don't give a care. That really strikes me as almost everything that we see in sports today seems to go against the idea that winning is what matters. I mean, if you actually look at the Patriots and the no days off and Brady taking less money, and again, that's an extreme. I'm not saying that, oh, you better live up to that extreme or there's a problem or I don't like you. I'm saying if the Patriots are over there and then you look at seemingly every other team to the world champion or recently formerly world champion Eagles saying, well, you know, we got our title and we're having some fun. You know, maybe one title with some fun is better than six titles with the grind. And let me just ask you two, let me ask the nation, give me another example, just one, of a player making a decision that isn't about his personal brand, that isn't about money, but it's about winning. Just in the last couple weeks.
I mean, I can't really think of any, to be honest with you.
One.
Yeah.
So the question becomes, this feels like a fundamental change. And as we transition and talk about Anthony Davis, I think it follows the exact same suit.
And that's right. Anthony Davis back in the news. The NBA is off until Thursday, but Mark Stein of the New York Times is reporting that the New Orleans Pelicans are considering reaching out to the NBA to engage them in a conversation about whether they can rest Anthony Davis or bench him for the remainder of the season. Obviously, we know the backstory. He doesn't want to be there. It's awkward. Their GM was just fired. So, RJ, what is the Vegas perspective on what's happening in New Orleans?
I mean, this is like, I can almost, you know, I'm reading the show memos and stuff, and it says, you know, as you said, they're asking the NBA, can they bench AD for the rest of the season? So the assumption is he's going to get paid, right?
Yes.
Yep.
All right. So, because I can't imagine he would accept not getting paid. So you've got a team who literally could have received almost the entire Lakers team and their entire future draft choices for what, like 4 years? And then they wouldn't have had Anthony Davis, but they would have had all that. And by the way, they wouldn't have been paying Anthony Davis. And now they're saying no thank you to that out of spite, seemingly. Now, the, you know, the boss man gets fired over it. Kind of makes sense. But now they're like, okay, well, we won't take any of that. But you know what might make sense? Let's not play him this year. So, like, how in the world, from the Pelicans' perspective, does this help? The only logic, the only, and I mean, this is convoluted, is, well, we think we can get more in the summer. But this is an asset that could be injured.
Mm.
And thus, if we sit him the whole rest of the season, which is meaningless anyway, oh, by the way, tickets on sale now if you want to see the Clippers come to town.
Oh, man.
Or whatever next after the All-Star break. But it doesn't really matter. So we'll sit him like the Mona Lisa behind glass and hope we can get more for him in the summer. But really, how much more could you get to make it worth throwing away a half a season? From the Pelicans' perspective, I see nothing that makes any sense. Jonas, Brad, anything?
I think this was butchered from everybody involved. This whole story, I think the Lakers butchered it, but with the leaks coming out of their building.
But Jonas, if you say the Lakers butchered it and the Pelicans butchered it, it doesn't feel like they both could have, meaning the Lakers did something that felt logical, made them a heck of an offer, and the Pelicans were like a little kid saying, well, how much do you want, you know, an eight-year-old, hey, shovel the snow. How much are you going to pay me? $10. Nope. $10,000. Nope. $10 million. Nope. Up. I guess he snookered me, that kid. He won't shovel the snow for it's like they weren't going to say yes seemingly to anything. So how did the Lakers mess up? They couldn't have assumed they were so irrational.
Well, I've heard that, and I know Chris Broussard of Fox Sports Radio has said that the report out there with all the names in that package, it wasn't as big as that report is saying. I mean, it was a nice offer, but and I think New Orleans mishandled it.
So why not counter it?
I don't think they were interested in placating Anthony Davis at all. I think they
had
hurt feelings.
So now, here's the consequence. Anthony Davis gets to sit at home and get paid literally the same amount of money.
That's it, money. I'm about making money. That's the dream, y'all. That's the American dream.
Apparently, it's the new American dream for athletes. On one hand, Manny Machado says, oh, give me a little bit more, and winning doesn't mean hardly anything to me. I won't take just a little bit less to win, or at least have a chance to win. And now Anthony Davis is saying, winning? Oh, forget about that. Question is, I don't really care if I play or not. Right? Because he could go right now and say, listen, I do want out of here. But you guys have my rights. The Pelicans, you got my rights. You're paying me big money. This isn't some rookie contract. You're paying me big money. I'm going to play as hard as I can for this city that's treated me well. And then hopefully, come the summer, you'll find a destination for me that you guys, the Pelicans, receive reciprocal assets, and I get to go play someplace I want to play. What would the Pelicans do then? They 100% would say, let's go, baby.
I also think this is on Anthony Davis. If you really want out of New Orleans, give more than one team that you're willing to go to. Don't eliminate everybody else.
It's 29 teams now.
Oh, of course, yeah, after the trade deadline when nothing can be done. I think this was a chop job from a lot of people in New Orleans, Anthony Davis included.
When we come back, I'm not even worked up yet. We're going to talk about Colin Kaepernick, and I'll be honest, I've been sitting back, listening, thinking. And I think there's a couple takes here that not many people are talking about when it comes to Kaepernick.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. And this is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of minutes, we will talk to you about one of the most controversial quarterbacks in recent NFL history.
Each weekday, we have fun bringing the fun of Vegas straight to you. Right now on the Strip, 47 degrees, and the neon is flowing. By the way, Jonas, before we move on, You know, we were ranting and raving. Maybe when I say we, I mean me earlier. But I think there's another example of what we were talking about, right? The ideal, the old school idea is winning is what matters. Patriots, I think, do an amazing job of that. Then we said, well, maybe it's not that anymore. It's about money. And as we've said before, it's numbers. Stats lead to Instagram followers, lead to dollar bills, big numbers with dollar signs beside them. Russell Westbrook, zero titles, second highest paid player. Okay, makes sense. If numbers is what matters, and his numbers, Westbrook's, are amazing. We've been talking about that. But boy, maybe there's a next level to this. Anthony Davis, as we've said, now it's like get paid and don't even play because he's not and happy where he is. And this isn't even his last year. It's 2 years left. Not going to play because he's not happy. And then, listen, I used to love this guy. Might have been my second favorite player in the NBA. I was a big Spurs fan during their run, you know, 4, 5, 6 years ago. I thought, well, part of it was Boris Diaw. That was kind of, if I ever made the NBA, my game would have been like Boris Diaw's. So I think I really appreciated that team. And obviously Pop as a coach, you know, I'm not big in political stuff either way if you're a coach, but as a coach, wow. And Duncan, the ultimate team player. But and Kawhi was the guy, never seemed to care about getting his shot. He was the guy that could fall from 10 feet, get up, be ready to go. And then seemingly some mysterious illness, injury, something, and he doesn't play. So we're getting to the point now, and Kawhi got paid last year, right? So back in the day, it was like, this guy better play for a fair amount, and he better care about winning more than anything. Then we went to, well, if he cares about winning or not, we're lucky if he does, but play for a fair amount. And then it's like, well, he's going to get overpaid regardless, but at least play hard. And now it's, he's going to get overpaid regardless. And if he's not happy in any given moment, he might not even play. Boy, it seems like we've fallen pretty fast.
Guys, Colin Kaepernick was in the news recently as he has settled his collusion case with the NFL. Terms of the settlement are not available, and this, according to his lawyer, subject to a confidentiality agreement, there will be no further comment by any party. Well, there have been several comments from around the sports world on what this means and Kaepernick's future. So, RJ, now is your time to comment on the Colin Kaepernick situation.
My turn. I like to sit back a little bit and see what others have been saying. I want to have a discussion here, though. Guys, jump in if you disagree with any of these points, because I'm not sure. Let's start now. I'm not sure of the answer. I think the best we can do is define the questions that we need answers to. So number one, I think it seems clear that Kaepernick and the other, was there one other player involved? Is that correct?
Eric Reed.
Yeah. Yes, that's so two players
who just signed a contract with the Carolina Panthers to stay in Carolina.
This is a win for the players. By all accounts, the NFL hates to settle these types of suits, because if you've been in any lawsuits, what you figure out is, you know, you've heard on NYPD Blue or Law and Order, it's not what's true, it's what you can prove. Well, there's a caveat to that. It's not about what's true, it's not only what you can prove, it's what you have enough money to pay to prove, because the court process is a long one. And, you know, sometimes there's patent people come in and say, oh, you're infringing on our patent. And it's like millions of dollars. Even if they're wrong about it, it's millions to defend it. The NFL, big bank takes little bank, right? The NFL is the big bank in this. The fact that the players got anything here on the surface seems like a win.
I
think it's hard to disagree with that. Win for the players. Now, I think there's another angle, which is for the NFL, you've always heard, well, don't bend over and pick up nickels on the way to a dollar bill two steps down the road. What's the numbers you're hearing? Now, this is all allegedly, but 50 million, 30 million, 70 million. It's in that mid, you know, around 50 million range is what you're hearing. Big, big money. Big money. It's a rounding error for the NFL. They're making billions and billions. And what we know is, politically, this is a conversation they don't want to have. It's not about pleasing the left or pleasing the right or the middle. The NFL knows that if they, whatever they do, where this is the conversation, the flag, social justice, kneeling, whatever, the irony is the left will think they're not doing enough and the right would think they're doing too much. They're going to lose on both sides. So to at least squash this part of the discussion maybe was worth that money, which is pretty much a rounding error. Okay. So, yes, Kaepernick won, but did he win for the right reasons or did he win almost like a nuisance suit? I think the answer is probably more of a nuisance suit, though we don't know what the ultimate judgment would be about was there collusion or wasn't there. It doesn't matter. Both parties were willing to say, okay, let's exchange some money and go home. I think everyone kind of sees that. But I'm going to give some credit where credit's due. And I'll be honest with you, I'm a mutual fan, and this is coming from Stephen A. Smith. Now, Stephen A. has been a fan of mine.
Talking about the great one, R.J. Bell.
So it's, you know, it's a two-way street. But Stephen A. said something on the radio yesterday, I'll be honest, I hadn't thought of. And I've been thinking of it ever since. Which is, what kind of gag order did Kaepernick take or agree to? Now, I don't think this is, I know as of yesterday, this wasn't public. I've been looking, I don't see any reports. So what could it be? It could be, now I know the terms of the agreement aren't allowed to be discussed. And that's very common in any agreement like this. But what were the terms? Well, they can't be discussed. So let's hypothetical-like, as they say, let's hypothetically speculate. Could it be that Kaepernick agrees never to try to play in the NFL again? Because Kaepernick is probably feeling like, you know, because think about it, the NFL is paying a lot of money. If Kaepernick were allowed to just go out and try out again and be part of a team and then maybe file another lawsuit and say, this, they did it again to me. What kind of restrictions there? What kind of restrictions does Kaepernick have when it comes to speaking out about any of this? Could he do a big 30 for 30 or a long thing on Fox, a 10-part series about social justice in America? Or is he restricted from doing that? Because it strikes me, if, and I'm going to say if now three times, if part of this settlement is go home and shut up, we're going to give you a lot of money, then boy, doesn't that call into question the authenticity of the original gesture? If the theory is, and it's not a theory, it's the assumption, Kaepernick wasn't looking for money when he did this. He wasn't thinking this is going to help my career. Now, if you're particularly jaded, you could think, well, he figured he'd become an icon, then maybe Nike pays him. The guy wasn't that far away from playing in the Super Bowl. So I don't think that was the thinking. I don't know. So it strikes me that there was some genuine feeling behind what he did. You can agree with it or not, but he was genuine. But if he gets bought off, if, and the amount of restriction he has about talking about these matters that was seemingly so important, isn't that just pretty much a payoff? Imagine the NFL, or I'm sorry, imagine the U.S. government went to Muhammad Ali back in the day, and he says, okay, we're going to forget about that five-year sentence. You can box again. And oh, by the way, we're going to pay you the money you would have made for boxing, but you can't talk any more about political stuff. If Ali would have taken that money, we would all think very differently of Ali. Now, I'm in no way saying I have any reporting at all about any restriction and into the Kaepernick's under. And to some degree, we're going to find out because we're going to see what he says in the future. If he's out leading rallies, doing speeches, writing books, participating in documentaries, then it looks like Kaepernick was restricted or not restricted at all. Now, I think there's two kinds of restrictions. The unlikely one would be you can't talk about anything. I'm not even sure that's enforceable. But the other one could be you can't talk about the NFL. Yeah, go out and talk about civil rights, police brutality, whatever. Just don't involve the NFL. So I'm going to be watching very closely. What are we going to hear from Kaepernick in the future, in the near future even? And does it involve criticism of the NFL? If it doesn't, I think it's a pretty fair guess there's a type of restriction in this agreement, and then the case could be made Kaepernick's silence was bought for a lot of money, but still bought. Any thoughts, guys?
I think that silence has been his best asset because the less he talks, the more everybody speculates and assumes. So I think it's the best thing for him. I think this also puts him in a spot to where if he really wants to play, and that's been a contention of a lot of people out there saying, oh, he doesn't really want to play. If he really wants to play, no team is going to shut him out now because that'll start up a collusion case once again. So
unless this agreement says in no future instance can you ever bring such a case again?
Yeah, and that's why it's interesting because we don't know the details, but you just wonder moving forward if there's an opportunity to play and he doesn't want to play, why is it? Was he told not to play, or is this just him saying, yeah, this was about the money and looking forward to my after playing career and all the other
but
causes?
But in theory, that after playing career would be as an advocate for the causes that he lost his career supposedly over.
Yes.
And last thing I'll say is this. You said silence has been to his benefit. Maybe when his actions spoke louder than silence, when the kneeling, when the various, but if you're no longer in front of the camera in pregame, then now his actions are not going to be seen, and his words, if not spoken, are not going to be seen or heard or read. So if it becomes total silence, boy, then the question becomes, what about this cause that was so important?
Right.
It feels like we're going to find out one way or another, but let's give Stephen A. credit. Those are questions that need to be answered. Final point, even if somehow, some way Kaepernick was bought off, doesn't necessarily make the cause wrong. It would just make, in that case, perhaps the leader of the cause at the time less than ideal. But boy, oh boy, Kaepernick has been placed on a pedestal as a leader of a movement. Now he's gotten paid a bunch of money. What did he give back for it? I think it's an important question. In just 1 minute, another important question. Who's going to win the national title? Fezzik and Brad, they've got a bet on it. It's not $50 million. But they've got a bat.
That's coming up next. But for all the latest from around the world of sports, it's Dan Beyer.
Free agent infielder Manny Machado reportedly getting a $300 million deal from the San Diego Padres that'll span 10 years with the contract, reportedly including an opt-out after year number 5. The deal would be the largest free agent contract in history. When it becomes official, of course, Bryce Harper remains a free agent. Following a meeting in South Florida, it looks like the Steelers and wide receiver Antonio Brown have agreed to go their separate ways. Brown met with Steelers owner Art Rooney the second today, and then a social media post said the sides cleared the air and agreed to move on. The NFL Network says the Steelers, though, will be the one determining where Brown goes, as his agents won't be allowed to contact other teams about a potential trade. Today's the first day of the NFL that teams can start placing the franchise tag on players. Kansas City Star says the Chiefs plan to use the franchise tag on defensive end Dee Ford, while if the Cowboys do so to defensive end DeMarcus Lawrence, the NFL Network says that he won't sign it. Cowboys could still work out a long-term deal with Lawrence. Free agent tight end Charles Clay signed a one-year deal with the Cardinals. Former Lakers forward Michael Beasley signing a deal to play in China, according to ESPN. And the next time you'll probably see Tony Romo is on the golf course, as the former Cowboys quarterback and now broadcaster has received a sponsor's exemption to play in the AT&T Byron Nelson coming up in early May in Dallas. Back to you guys.
Thanks, Dan. Straight out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. We are going to have a best bet for you coming up in just a moment. We do want to let you know we are brought to you by Maaco. You might not be able to get a new car with your tax refund, but you can make your car feel like it's brand new. All it needs is a great paint job. Come into Maaco today and get your dream paint job during their tax season sales event. I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. He is the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
And I tell you, we love feedback, guys. Part of it, sometimes we do polls, and we're going to wait till the next segment to talk about that poll, because I've made a commitment, usually in the last segment. What that's about is all the games that matter on TV that night, the pregame show you always wanted, we're going to tell you if you bet which way to lean, or if we're betting it ourselves, or if you're just a fan, we're going to tell you info about the game that helps you watch it, enjoy it, and know more than your buddies. But the feedback was, hey, these 7 o'clock Eastern starts, you're giving it to us at 7:49. We want to hear the end of the segment, and we don't get time to get down. So when there's a 7 Eastern start, we're going to do it before the last commercial break of the show. And why? Well, because we love you.
Tipping off in a little over 20 minutes from now, it's a top 25 team in action, and that team is number 5 Tennessee hosting Vanderbilt on ESPN. And right now, the Volunteers are a 17.5-point favorite on pregame.com.
I lean with Tennessee, the big favorite, minus 17.5. There's a lot of guys that are maybe having duct tape on their shoes. Maybe they're sharper than most, but they still live in a one-bedroom apartment and they haven't bought a new pair of shoes in 10 years. They're going to say, hey, Tennessee's in a flat spot. They're off a big game against Kentucky. They got a huge game against LSU on deck. I think that situational spot's being overpriced in the marketplace. I think the concern for Tennessee is, hey, let's get out and prove. We just got our teeth kicked in on Saturday by Kentucky, embarrassed on national TV. Now we got an opportunity to put one on an in-state rival. And on the flip side, Vanderbilt, not much to like about this team. 13 straight losses. And the Vegas line is supposed to take that into consideration. Well, Vanderbilt's come up short on the Vegas line by 8 points per game the last 13. Lean Tennessee minus 17.5.
Okay, so if you look at the last 13 games for Vanderbilt, on average, they've been minus 8 against the spread.
Minus 8 points per game against the spread.
And what's their record in those games?
4-9 against the spread.
All right, so they're losing a good bit. And the line in the Tennessee game right now against Vandy?
17.5.
So here's my concern. So you're talking about, I agree with you, there's always a balance between why are you motivated now? Now, why would you be motivated in a given game if you're Tennessee? One, oh, this is a tough game. This is an important game. If you're a 17-point favorite, maybe not. The second reason you might be motivated is you just got embarrassed.
Yep.
So now it's like, we got to show we're bouncing back, baby, redemption. So let's agree Tennessee is in a redemptive spot, a spot of redemption. Yes. But does that carry over with a spread this big? Meaning if the spread's 8, if the spread's 9, I hear you. But if they're up by 15, 18 with 4 minutes left, doesn't it become about that next game and getting their players some rest?
I think that's a solid point, but I think, again, that's being overpriced in the marketplace. Look, my power rankings have been right on point with Tennessee for the last 4 or 5 games. This one says
that. Is this another dig that you won that Tennessee?
No,
I mean, it's like I haven't heard more talk about it. You beat me in that Tennessee Kentucky battle.
My power rankings say the line should be 20, so it's being overpriced into the marketplace.
Okay, so what you're saying is, yes, there's a good point to be had that there's a look ahead, even though they're motivated now. But boy, the line should be 20. It's only 17.
Exactly.
But there's a lot of X factors here, so you're not betting the game itself.
Again, that's why it's a lean and not a like, RJ.
All right, and your lean is on?
Tennessee minus 17.5.
And you did bet against, I had Tennessee, and you won, right?
Yeah.
Well, there's the 7th time you've said it. When we come back, I promise you, there won't be an 8th time. We're going to talk about the other games that matter tonight and a big bet between Fezzik and Brad. You guys voted on it on a poll. We'll tell you the results.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. Guys, the back half of the ESPN doubleheader in college hoops takes place with Kentucky at Missouri. It's a 9 Eastern time tip-off. Right now on pregame.com, Kentucky is an 11-point favorite.
Brad Powers, all the college knowledge.
Lean Missouri, plus 11. So we have a Kentucky team that I think has questionable motivation. Why? Kentucky's fat and happy. They just got a big, huge win over Tennessee over the weekend. I didn't know if you knew that, RJ.
Sick and tired of hearing that.
Anyways, Kentucky now laying a big number on the road. Only road game for Kentucky in a three-week stretch. The other reason why I'm leaning towards Missouri here, Missouri's a very slow-tempo team, number 309 in the country. So why do I think that's advantageous for the underdog? Slower tempo means fewer possessions, fewer opportunities for Kentucky to exert their superiority. That's why I lean with Missouri plus 11.
But not alike.
Not alike.
You just don't bet against Kentucky.
They've been really hot, RJ. I don't know if you knew that. 10-1 straight up, 9-2 against the number last 11.
Sick and tired of hearing that.
Well, listen, Brad, I know you'd like to go at Fezzik. Like the young buck. I mean, let's be honest. You're moving quickly to 40. You're not that young. But the young buck against Fezzik, who's is moving, you know, significantly older. Here's a little lesson for you. Just think about it.
But you need to understand it is not a gamble. It is a calculated risk.
That's what about, you're going to win your games now and again. In the long run, we all know who's going to have the money.
From Brad's bragging to our betting and a poll that was included, College Hoops, it was a poll put up, RJ, on pregame at your Twitter account, at RJ in Vegas, to gauge the public's interest in would they take Duke, would they take the field, what do we know now, and how have the stakes changed in your guys' College Hoops bet to see who cuts down the nets coming up in about a month and a half.
Yeah, this was a huge response from this baby, almost 15,000 votes, and there's 8 minutes left to vote, so you can jump in. Here was the bet. Would you rather have Duke, or would you rather have your pick of three other teams? Could be any three you wanted, Kentucky, whomever. Now, almost 15,000 votes, 69%, Gronk's favorite number, 69% said, give me the three teams. Only 31% said Duke. Now, you got 8 minutes left. If you want to jump in at RJ in Vegas and vote, try to sway that number at the end. We'll report on it here in a couple minutes. Brad, you took the Duke side.
I did.
Are you reevaluating? Is the wisdom of crowds causing you to pause?
Yeah, some concern.
Some concern.
Yes.
Now, Fezzik had which three teams?
Fezzik took Kentucky and Tennessee. I don't know if you knew this, but they played this past weekend. And also Gonzaga.
All right, so Kentucky, Tennessee, Gonzaga.
Yep.
If you were taking the three, forced to, who would you like?
I would take Kentucky, Gonzaga, but instead of Tennessee, I would have taken Virginia.
So it's really about, for you, Virginia against Tennessee.
Yep.
Jonas, who would you like if it's just like a free roll, you get $10,000 if one of these teams win? Would you have Virginia, who usually does better in the regular season, or Tennessee?
I would take Virginia.
Okay, so Fez is out on an island with that. Now, I love Twitter. I love feedback. I love to hear from the fans. I'll be honest, I ignore most of it. But occasionally, occasionally something sharp comes through. Someone said, but RJ, what would you rather have? Duke? That's choice number one. This is almost like, this isn't quite, what was that show when it was like behind the, like you pick it behind the doors, like door number one, there might be a goat. Door number two, there's a new car. It wasn't Press Your Luck. Wait.
Whoa, make me rich, make me rich. Whatever you can drop that stuff.
It was make a deal or something.
Yeah,
let's make a deal.
All right. So imagine, thanks for finally jumping in there, Josh. imagine a situation where in door number one, it's Duke all by themselves, all those top rated guys. Door number two is your choice of the three teams, right? So yep. Gonzaga, Virginia, Kentucky.
Yep.
And door number three into a big auditorium is every other team in Division I basketball. Which of those three would you rather have?
Ooh.
So we're saying, or do is because in theory, if it was even, it'd be Duke's about 33%. The big three, the other three's 33, and everyone else is 33. Where do you put the odds between Duke, your big three, and the other 350-some teams?
I think Duke and the big three are more closer to 40%, and door number three in your example would be like 20%. I'd rather have one
wow.
in the field.
Wow. So you, if I said I would give you Duke,
yep.
and you would give me every other team,
yep.
and the big three gets thrown out, you'd give me plus 200.
Yep. Is that a bet?
Oh, man. What do you think of that? Imagine that, Jonas. So if Kentucky wins, if Virginia wins, if Gonzaga wins, there's no bet. Otherwise, if Duke wins, Brad wins the bet. Or if anybody else wins, I win the bet.
I would take
Ed, I get 2-1.
Yeah, I would take that bet. The NCAA tournament is a crapshoot. You're playing in football stadiums. There's no home court advantage. I would take the field in that place.
Well, here's what I'm going to do. Because the show's almost over and I don't make rash decisions, tomorrow we'll tease ahead. I will make it, and we'll make this a $500 bet if we do it. $500 to win $1,000 for me is we'll recap the bet and I'll make my decision. Do I want to take Brad up on he takes Duke and I take pretty much everyone else and I'm getting plus 200 except for three teams? I'm tempted.
That's coming up tomorrow here on Straight Outta Vegas, 6 Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight Outta Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com.